As we age, there can be many reasons why we feel tired, have memory issues, gain weight, struggle with stress, or feel depressed. These symptoms can be indicators that the adrenal glands that sit on top of your kidneys need metabolic strengthening. There are herbs known to improve adrenal gland function, circulation, blood pressure, skin, muscle, and bone strength. Why suffer with weakness when you can use gland-strengthening medicinal herbs? Empower yourself with the organic balance chemistry in the adrenal gland formula. You will remove the risk of megadoses and offer specific nutrition the body needs. Call Apothecary Herbs now for their adrenal gland formula, 866-229-3663. ThePowerHerbs.com. That's Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663. ThePowerHerbs.com. Because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Are you prone to developing kidney stones? Nearly 20% of men and 10% of women are, and they have no idea how they got them. If you've experienced the pain of kidney stones, your risk of recurrence is high. Having kidney stones is the result of diet, such as using the wrong salt, eating too much animal foods, or taking synthetic vitamins. If you're tired of suffering from kidney stones or want to reduce the likelihood of getting them, call Apothecary Herbs for their whole food organic kidney stone herbal liquid formula. Gently cleanse and purify your kidney filters to reduce the particle buildup that creates stones. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the kidney stone formula, 866-229-3663, or visit thepowerherbs.com. Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
1, 2, 3.
Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day. Here on Herb Talk, it's all about empowerment. Hey, Frank, you ready?
I'm ready.
Yes, thanks for joining us all here on the American Voice Radio Network. We got a great show. First part of the show, we're going to be talking about our wheat crop and what's going on with that. And we have some other stuff in our quack report. But before we get to all that great stuff, big salute and semper fi to righteous men and women in uniform. I'm hitting the knees and I'm seeking the Lord's face and I'm minding the time because it grows short. And our devotional is in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, where it says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly, and he which sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Every man according to his purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." That's right. If you're not tithing, then see the Lord's face. Talk to him about it, because you can't outgive God. He owns all the money anyway. He owns everything. So might as well, you know, seek his face give bountifully, cheerfully, and he'll bless you as well. And mind the time to grow short, because the Lord Jesus Christ is the way. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. Thanks, Frank. Okay, first up in the quacker, scientists in Iceland are using genetically modified barley to create lab-grown meat. That's right. So scientists in Iceland are planting hundreds of thousands of genetically engineered barley plants so they can create lab-grown meat. The project is being led by the Icelandic company called ORF Genetics, and they've already planted over 100,000 genetically engineered barley plants in about 2,000 square meters of greenhouses. They claim that the cutting-edge technology they're using to provide people with meat protein from genetically modified barley can lower food prices, eliminate people's reliance on live animals, and rely only on lab-grown meat. And of course, they're speeding the scale up on this, and it'll be, you know, bountiful for them. Currently, lab-grown meat producers rely on growth factor proteins extracted from live animals, but this new technology at ORF Genetics can use artificial meat, can tell artificial meat companies, hey, you don't need that. You just need the growth factor proteins from plants, not live animals. And it'll be more profitable, especially when the industry goes into full swing and nobody can buy real steak anymore. Ugh. All right, moving along in the quack report. Reckless associations. Frank, you'll want to hear this. Frank, you're the law dude over there. I know your head's always in a Black's Law Dictionary sometime somewhere. So here, reckless associations. The ruling class creates a new legal theory to stifle free speech. This is forthcoming article in the Harvard Journal of Law and Technology, where three law professors are proposing a very new legal tort on theory of liability. This liability is referred to as reckless associations and has the effect of allowing a victim to sue a third party for assuming the leadership position in an association if the member of the association intentionally caused harm to the victim. So the professors have proposed this secondary liability to crack down on social network agitators and that they think have escaped legal punishment for their content, which they allege falls short of conspiracy and incitement. So the theory's effectiveness would be to flood the judicial system with lawsuits proposing to hold wrongdoers accountable. And the secondary effect would be to pressure social networking platforms to maintain key network surveillance data readily available for the attorneys to access. What do you think of that, Frank? Yeah, that's a new reckless associations. You can be sued for, I guess, just, you know, any odd association that you really didn't know you had. I don't know. Last but not least in the quack report, Mississippi, get this, officially bans COVID-19 vaccine mandates and passports. Woohoo to Mississippi. Mississippi has banned public agencies from discriminating against individuals based on the coronavirus vaccination status. This is from the Republican Governor Tate Reeves. He signed the bill, which is Bill 1509, authorized Mississippi House of Representatives and Speaker Phil Gunn and fellow Republicans also passed the GOP-controlled upper and lower houses in Mississippi legislature. So the ban extends to state agencies, public officials, and public agencies in counties, municipalities, and other political subdivisions in the state. It also covers public universities and community and junior colleges. So newly signed law also prohibits covered employers from requiring a vaccine for current applicants and also a condition of employment for future applicants. It also prevents discriminating against unvaccinated employees in terms of compensation or other benefits. The law also prevents public and private schools and other facilities intended for the instruction for children from requiring children to get vaccinated as a condition for attending the school. Well, a little good news is always, always welcome. And that wraps the Quack Report.
That's all, folks.
Thank you, Frank. What'd you say, Frank? As long as it is peaceful, right, any and all associations, assemblies are lawful, and it is settled law. And I believe this is a tactic to get the modus rolling against the, what, sub-circuit courts, if I'm reading that right. Well, you're right about that. It's, you know, settled law. Well, they're trying to change things. Oh, Supreme Court, sorry. Sorry, read that wrong. Well, there's things that happen in the Supreme Court. You know, they leaked that report about, you know, overturning Roe versus Wade. I wonder if that's true. We shall see, right? All right, well, we're going to get to our wheat crop topic, genetic modifications. And this is, you know, nothing real super new. You've probably heard this before. But we have some new research we want to bring to light here with regard to grain modification. I thought you would be interested as our amber waves of grain are in the balance. All right, so, you know, the U.S. wheat has been altered long before genetic reengineering foods became headline news. Yep. So after World War II, the U.S. modified its wheat berry to be more glutinous. Now, in doing so, it ushered in celiac disease. Now, of course, this information is considered a myth by the Whole Grains Council, who considers the changes to the U.S. wheat berry as evolutionary in nature. But the U.S. Air Force has a different record on file with regards to changes to the U.S. wheat. Let's consider the U.S. Air Force for one momento. They say when recruits join the Air Force, they give up a sample of their blood. Now, Dr. Joseph Murray, gastroenterologist at Mayo Clinic, he noticed that blood samples from the 1950 recruits showed that 1 in 700 recruits had celiac disease, an autoimmune disease they say affected when the person eats gluten. Now, Dr. Murray knew that it couldn't be a genetic disorder, as we were told it was, because he says human genes haven't changed that much. So there has to be something pervasive in the environment that is making this disease more common, he said. Now, Dr. Murray published a study in 2009. It appeared in the Journal of Gastroenterology, and his research begs us to ask questions. Is the United States wheat being cultivated and processed differently, causing disease? And have the scientists bred a wheat variety which magnifies the gluten content, creating a health problem in the United States? Also, if folks with gluten intolerance eat ancient wheat varieties, do they still have gastrointestinal problems or celiac disease? Well, apparently not. It showed in one generation, the wheat source in the United States got changed. One generation. Yeah, how do you like that for evolution? Bam, on the fast dial. Well, and here's the other thing about military recruits. According to the U.S. military, a recruit must be considered, quote, able-bodied to serve in the armed forces. And the military has this list of, quote, medical standards in their code. I think it's DOD 1, Section 6130.03, and it's regarding the induction into the military. You have to meet certain health standards. So restrictive diets really don't seem to fit with the military's definition of able-bodied. So if you're diabetic, you have celiac disease, you know, they can't cater to all those changes if some recruits have those problems. Here is a quote from the spokesperson with the U.S. Department of Defense, Cynthia Smith, who says, quote, a person with celiac disease or gluten intolerance or sensitivity would not be eligible for entry into the military, end of quote. Well, she just says it. Bam. That's it. Nope. Well, let's look at our amber waves of grain. You know, it's the breadbasket of America. So what is going on with the grain supply? It is a good question. And there are reports on both sides of this topic. One is saying, hey, the grain has not been modified by man. And the other side is saying, yeah, it's been altered. So in August 2021, the University of Okayama, if I said it right, they're in Japan, university in Japan. They published a study where science is transforming grain by modifying the genome. And they're working with U.S. scientists on this. So it certainly sounds like science is changing the wheat genetically when the research paper is titled, Scientists Use New Technology to Assemble a High-Quality Genome Sequence for a Common Wheat Cultivar Often Used for Genetic Modification. Well, now the research is looking to modify what is called Fiddler's Wheat, which is a kind of a soft white wheat. Often they use it for pastry type products. And the research selected Fiddler's Wheat because it was easier to modify with a bacteria. Now, apparently bacteria is an implication for wheat genome editing now. And why alter wheat genetically though? What's the big deal? Well, here is how science looks at this subject. Here's a quote from the research, and it appeared in the DNA Research Journal, August 2021. They say, wheat is a staple in the human diet of many cultures, and increasing wheat production to feed the masses and reduce costs is necessary. Genetic engineering has the potential to generate better wheat with a desired characteristic. Unfortunately, wheat is one of the hardest crops to genetically modify due to the nature of its resistance to transform. So introducing new genes into the wheat cells to pass down is the challenge. End of quote. Well, you know, thank the Lord for his design. If the wheat's saying, I don't want to change. This way God made me, I'm going to stay this way. I hope so. So the University also of Idaho, get this now, has been working on grain modification since the 1970s. And they discovered that Fiddler's Wheat to be the easiest to modify. However, science is actively pursuing mapping the genomes of all the grains. Okay? Now, science wants to own the DNA of your grain. That's what they want. And the genome editing of wheat can produce a mutant wheat plant. And this means unintended modifications that could occur in the gene editing effort. And the scientists justify modifying the grains this way. This is their justification. Many countries, including the United States and Japan, are looking seriously into breeding genetically modified wheat to improve crop productivity. Our research shows on a highly complex wheat genome that we hope to encourage further research targeting the genome sequence for wheat genetic engineering that is safe for human consumption. That's a quote from Dr. Sato in Japan. So, they're going to do it. They're doing it, whether we like it or not. And let's look at the U.S. wheat, because, you know, what is the U.S. growing and calling it wheat? Well, the ancient wheat species of Encorn, emmer, and spelt are usually not cultivated anymore by modern agriculture. And they are there's approximately six classes of wheat and hundreds of varieties. And most of the wheat in the United States is sown in the fall and then harvested in the spring, winter and summer wheat. So the modern wheat product is grown in the cooler climates and planted in the fall to become our grain crop. Now, about 75% of the wheat grown in the United States is the winter wheat in that variety. And it's really a product that contains a very high percentage of gluten. It is cultivated to be used to make bread and cakes. Now, the hardest wheat cultivated is durum, and it's used to make macaroni, spaghetti, and other pastas. Now, the softer, paler wheat varieties are more starchy and are used for flour to make things like pie crust, biscuits, and breakfast foods. And when wheat is milled, the residues, the bran, and other plant parts are used to make livestock feed, sorghum, waste grain product, and some wheat grain is also used to make whiskey and even beer. So wheat's important. And Frank says, as in the days of Noah, only what? Noah's family genetics were pure any longer. Good point. Yeah. So they're changing wheat. But let's look at the European wheat in contrast. The European countries tend to reject genetically modified foods, including wheat. But they've also found some GMO contamination in wheat, and they have to test their sources all the time. And the big contrast regarding wheat grown in the United States and wheat grown in Europe is that in Europe, they just have one or two classes of wheat. And the class is determined by the variety characteristic, you know, where and when it's planted, the milling, and what food use it's for. So what would be a better comparison or difference between the United States wheat and European wheat? Well, if you visit a mill over, let's say, in the UK, in England, you can see at the mill works there their wheat, what makes it different from the United States. So in European wheat, their berry is softer than the United States hard wheat berry variety, which is believed to be influenced by climate. And they also tend over in the UK to grind their wheat into what is called whole meal, which is a tightly controlled whole wheat flour, which has nothing added to it or removed from it. What would that mean for comparison to the U.S. wheat flour? Well, whole meal in the UK is handled differently. It's a heavier flour, and it's designed by the millers to get around a lot of their bread and flour regulations. So whole meal flour is harder to manage because it contains all the grain offal, making it much heavier. So all the weight of the grain is still there. Nothing's been removed or it's not made lighter. Now, this type of flour is full of grain oils, and so it has to be either frozen or processed into something you're going to make that day, because those oils will turn rancid quickly. And by the way, the flour is ground and used right away over there to make a lot of food products. So they contain a lot of the oils, and a lot of these oils and grains are cardiovascular friendly. This is why Americans have heart disease, because all those oils are removed from a lot of processed products to extend shelf life, but it doesn't do our cardiovascular system any good. So I would say in less than 100 years, the wheat in the United States was like the flour that they're making over in the UK. It had less gluten, more oils, and more nutrition in it. Less than 100 years. So let's get a little of wheat history for a second. Now, before 1870, the United States used the soft wheat variety, less protein and gluten. That's what they were using in the 1800s. Then harder spring wheat variety with more gluten came into the United States from Central Europe. It arrived here, and Americans liked, because it was gluten-rich, it became made fluffier baked goods. And supply and demand changed the variety of the wheat grain grown in the United States. So people were demanding it, so farmers started growing it. So the white processed flour tended to be more expensive at first and became a status symbol in the United States. But by the 1900s, new farming, milling technology came along, and they were able to mass transport a lot of these grains, and it brought down the cost of the flour. So a lot of your breakfast cereals really didn't exist before 1890. Now, by 1920, cream of wheat was in everybody's breakfast cabinet and on their table. And an interesting find is that there was a study in 1966. It was published in the American Journal for Clinical Nutrition, which showed a correlation globally between the increase in gluten-rich wheat variety and the consumption of it, and the increase in the number of schizophrenia patients. So, the title of that journal article was Wheat Consumption and Hospital Admissions for Schizophrenia During World War II. Well, currently wheat is the most cultivated crop worldwide, and by the 1980s, bakers discovered how to make their products ultra-fluffy by adding additional gluten called vitriol, wheat gluten. So the gluten is used as meat substitutes and vegetarian entrees. And when we made wheat the dominant food source, we became less tolerant of it systematically. So we look at the gluten intolerant folks as a minority, and that something has to be wrong with them, when in fact the human body was really not designed to ingest mega amounts of refined wheat, usually accompanied with refined sugar, and it causes ill health. So by 1992, the USDA food pyramid assigned a large chunk of the American diet to wheat products. By 2005, the pyramid changed, and they called it My Pyramid, and it restructured the nutritional guideline to make the vegetable category almost equal to the wheat category. So a lot of us have the power to make changes, because people that have gluten intolerance who have experienced maybe European wheat with no gastrointestinal problem, they've learned, hey, let me import some of that wheat from overseas and I'll make my own bread. And they feel better and they live healthier. They stay out of the doctor's office. So they also have stronger and healthier immune systems for it. Now, Americans consume too much wheat, dairy, sugar, and they have the highest rates of heart disease, diabetes, and obesity. Americans can change all that without an AMA physician, without a pharmaceutical drug, and without medical insurance. Lifestyle changes put you in control. Puts the power in your hands. Now, also, if you want a gluten-free superfood, call the folks at Apothecary Herbs. They have that wonderful Body Foundation food mix loaded with your plant-based vitamins, minerals, and amino acids, and plant protein, but zero gluten. It's all organic plant-based stuff. So if you don't have enough energy, try that. That'll really give you some zip. You throw it in a smoothie, put it in your favorite juice, and you're done. Give them a call at 866-229-3663. That's the folks at Apothecary Herbs. That's 866-229-3663. Or visit them online at thepowerherbs.com. Oh, I can see by the clock we've got to take a little break, but we'll be right back with more.
Life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Everyone is afraid of pain. No one wants pain to rule over their life. and you don't want the negative side effects of aspirin, ibuprofen, or prescription drugs. They can lower immunity and cause dependency. Is there a safe alternative? I'm herbalist Wendy Wilson, and I prefer willow bark and meadow sweet herbs to control pain, fever, aches, and inflammation. God's herbs are good, and you won't be disappointed. Call Apothecary Herbs for pain or extra strength pain relief formula, toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International, 704-875-8010, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Thomas Edison invented the light bulb. Henry Ford, the automobile. And herbalist Wendy Wilson? Well, discover for yourself. Listen to Herb Talk Live.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663, or thepowerherbs.com.
Don't trust anyone wearing a mask. Robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Back here on Herb Talk. Thank you, Frank. I want to thank all the well-wishers out there that had heard. I believe Pastor Ernie Sanders made an announcement on his show. I had a little mishap at work, and I injured my leg, so I was kind of out of commission for a week. And I want to thank all those that called, emailed, sent cards with all your well wishes. I have a few here now. I've got something from a lady, Miss Hetty. She sent me this beautiful card with herbs on it. It is beautiful. And she wishes me well in a speedy recovery and to keep up the good work. Also have a little card here from Miss Becky, who heard that I had an injury and was wishing me a speedy recovery. Thank you so much. And also a very nice handwritten letter from a Mr. Rodriguez in New Jersey. So sweet to take the time to write such a beautiful little note. I thank you all so very much. I bumped into something at work. It was a big container and it was heavy and I didn't think much of it, Frank. I really didn't. You know, I was doing my thing, and within 24 hours, boom, my leg just kind of swelled way up. Now, this was on my right leg, just beneath my kneecap. And what it became was this huge hematoma. So a hematoma is pretty much a bruise, but it can fill it with blood. And that's exactly what happened. It was about the size of your fist. And I couldn't walk. I had to go have medical attention from trauma care. And what they had to do is drain it. Man, it was painful. Oh, and so then I was told, you know, bed rest, elevate the foot, of the leg above your heart kind of thing, and warm, calm, you know, dry compresses, you know, heating pad, you know, and just do all that other stuff they want you to do when you kind of convalesce, you know. Twiddle your thumbs is on the list, I think. Oh, so anyway, I'm back at work. Back to normal. I'm really glad for it. Thank you, Lord, for the speedy recovery. He looked after me. So, but thanks to all of you, too, for your concern and well wishes. It was very heartfelt. Thank you so much. All right. So we got a few minutes. And since we were talking about grains, I thought we'd kind of highlight a little bit about the nutritional element of very healthy grains that the Lord God has made. There's like 8,000 species of grains worldwide. And the ancient grains are really nutrient-rich. They're loaded with a lot of taste and texture. And grains help us to develop not only our ancient commerce, but whole grains are wealth of nutritional elements, you know, more valuable than gold and silver. So we look at some of these grains, especially some of the grains our ancient ancestors really valued and helped stay well with. So there's lots of major benefits with the healthier grains rather than refined types of grains. Most nutritional elements you're going to get less in the refined grains, but you will get typically in your grains vitamin B, zinc, chromium, magnesium, potassium, lots of healthy oils like we mentioned earlier to help support your cardiovascular system. Whereas your refined grains have 97% of all this nutrition removed. And that's all stripped away. So whole grains offer more complex carbohydrates, more fiber, more minerals, protein, more vitamins to help support your central nervous system, and also antioxidants like vitamin E and so forth. So this is why this nutrition keeps you from having schizophrenia. And they noticed with the refined grains, people were having more schizophrenia in World War II. So essential nutrition in your whole grains protects you from chronic degenerative diseases, things like cancer, heart disease, diabetes, bowel disease like irritable bowel syndrome, Crohn's disease, diverticulosis, also varicose veins. These are just a few things. So you probably say, well, how in the world does grain do that? Well, the fiber in your whole grains help to bind carcinogens and other toxins, including heavy metals, and remove them from your colon. Yeah. So, you know, there's a reason why your doctor says get more fiber. But you want the right kind of fiber, the kind with nutrition in it. And not all fiber is the same. So utilizing whole grains in your diet, reducing the animal foods will help lower your blood pressure, too. I don't know how many times people call me and say, well, how can I lower my blood pressure? Yeah. Well, you have the power. You just didn't know how to exercise and utilize that power. So we're hopefully impressing you there. Now, this is some research from the USDA. They have the Cereal and Crops Research Lab. This is at the University of Wisconsin in their chemistry department. Guess what they found? That if you eat 30 grams of raw grain, like oats, wheat, corn, or rice, it'll lower cholesterol by 8%. 8%. They also determined that the active nutrient was potassium in the grain that does that, which also helps the body manage healthy muscle tone and body fluids. So this study also found that barley offered additional protection, help block the bad LDL cholesterol. And they reported that the magnesium in your grain will protect your arteries, veins, and helps to regenerate your blood pressure, regulate your blood pressure. So now also a team also analyzed a lot of your grains, and they said that the top four, in their opinion, were rice bran, quinoa, wheat germ, and let's see, what was the last one? Myrus grain. All right, so let's look at some of these ancient grains. Now, the Aztecs, the Greeks, the Africans, the Asians, the Indians, they all used these ancient grains. And American Indians as well. Millet-sized seeds, these were broadleaf plants. They prepared things like rice, and they used it as a cereal, as a side dish. They ground stuff into corn for flour. As you know, the Aztecs did a lot of that. A lot of health benefits, these ancient grains, a lot of amino acids in them, in most of these ancient grains, as well as natural calcium and iron. So, now, I don't know, Frank, have you ever had quinoa? I love quinoa. I like to cook it as a hot cereal, and I'll put nuts and raisins in it. And let me tell you, there's this thing about long-chain nutritional elements. And so if you have like a grain cereal like that, or a whole grain English muffin, something that still has your good nutrition still in it, and then fruit for breakfast, you get these long chains of protein and energy. And so it carries you through the morning and even past lunch in some instances. So depending on how physically demanding your job is. But you get a lot out of a whole grain breakfast with your fruit. It's amazing. So quinoa is one of my favorite. It's indigenous to the Andes area of the world. It's an ancient plant. They consider it an herb over there. Your quinoa grain has 8 essential amino acids, potassium, iron, and zinc. Highly recommended for people that have an allergy to other grains, quinoa. Rice, obviously on the list, nice major staple, as we know. Brown rice is the whole rice kernel, and higher in fiber, more vitamins and minerals than your white rice. It's a more complex carb, doesn't convert to sugar as readily. So brown rice, and it's chewier, heartier, a rice, so it's nice. Barley's on the list, ancient grain, you know, probably from the Stone Age, and it was, get this, Frank, it was used as an antacid during the Victorian Age. Yeah, so it contains insoluble and soluble fiber both, and includes vitamin B. A lot of health benefits in barley. It helps remove toxins from your bowel while lowers blood pressure. Pearled barley is processed barley, and the bran is removed, so just remember that. And the whole hulled barley is best with only a very outer husk removed there, so barley. We talked about wheat, American standard grain here in the United States. It's also considered a prehistoric grain from the Middle East. Popular in flavor, fiber, protein, complex carbs, wheat. The wheat variety, but no, we got, 8 different varieties of that? Fiber facts now. So when you have insoluble and soluble fibers like wheat bran, along with your fruit and vegetables, which are insoluble, oat bran, rice bran, apples, dried beans, all these soluble fibers help reduce your cholesterol, increase bile acids, and lowers your risk of colon cancer. So according to biochemist Jeffrey Bland, the more whole grains you include in your diet, the better you will sleep due to the increased supply of copper and iron. So your grains will also offer a natural anxiety suppressant with low calories with high vitamin B content, which is helpful for the nervous system. So this is why there's more schizophrenia they found during World War II, because they changed how they did the wheat. Because they stripped a lot of nutrition out of it. And extend that shelf life. So if you plan to stock up on grains, get you some airtight bags or you can put them in the freezer. It helps keep the bugs away, prevents spoilage. Grains contain natural oils and can become rancid if they're not stored properly. Now, I like to put a few bay leaves in with the grains. It helps repel most bugs. Throw a few bay leaves in there. Works also on processed or milled flour as well. It keeps the millworms out. They don't like bay leaves. Put the bay leaf in there. So, you know, so basically if you haven't gotten any wheat, you might want to stock up on some whole wheat, you know, in five gallon pails, maybe 10 gallon pails, and get you a grain mill. So you can just, you know, powder up what you need when you need it. And all the nutrition's still in there. Right? Right. So, I mean, we're going to see wheat prices go way up as famine comes into the picture. And we had a problem, what was it, last year. We had a big storm that wiped out our winter wheat crop in the spring. So, and if you're not getting grains from Russia within, you know, embargoes and things, sanctions, then your wheat is going to get more expensive. So I think, you know, if you're preparing for the worst, get some wheat grain that hasn't been milled yet and then get you a grain mill. Few hundred bucks, get you a nice, really good grain mill, attach it to a table, you know, in your shop or wherever, and just, you know, grind up what you need when you need it. It's nice. So, I don't know, Frank, I'm always thinking ahead like that, preparing for stuff, you know? I mean, I tell even my millennial kids, I said, well, you're at the store, just pick up a can of tuna. I mean, you know, usually the tuna is good for 2 years, right? You know, pick things up, put it aside, you know, stuff that'll have a longer shelf life, pick that up. Pick up beans, dried beans, pick up rice, pick up, you know, pick it up, put it away. Because, you know, it'll keep. And you can buy, what is that, you go down the grocery store aisle and they got that mixed bag of soup beans with even a flavoring packet in there. I mean, all you're going to need is water and maybe a little fire to heat that water, and you can make some soup. See? Yeah. So, you know, store some water away, too. So, you know, Frank, whenever there's a storm, you know, like we're going to have a big storm coming up. People, you know, the grocery stores, you run out of your bread, your milk, and your bottled water. Bam, all gone when there's a big storm a-coming. So I was thinking to myself, you know, you could go to Lowe's, and they have these big 5- and 10-gallon pail buckets, right, with lids on them, no less. And you can just dump your water hose into one of them things, and you have all this water, that, you know, to flush toilets and whatever with. That you can throw through the Brita pitcher if you got one of those filters or a Berkey filter. And, I'm thinking to myself, why did they go buy all the bottled stuff when they can just, you know, dump their garden hose into one of these things and they have gallons and gallons of water? Anyway, I think ahead. Well, so, all right, so we got a few minutes. I wanted to look at this thing where the people have changed a little bit. I don't know. Maybe it's just people I'm talking to, maybe. But I run into people all the time that will say, well, I don't go to the doctor. I'm very sensitive to medications. I can't just take anything. So people have this perspective that's different. Then let's say, you know, 50 years ago, people had a different perspective of healthcare, didn't they, Frank? You know, your parents and grandparents definitely had a different perspective of what healthcare was than it is right now. So modern medicine has been, you know, kind of taking notes. They're learning what more people are saying about their therapies and how they treat diseases. Yeah, there's like these research reports on it. What'd you say, Frank? Frank says, yeah, they expected to be healthy. Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, people kind of had a lot of trust, you know, in their healthcare physician. You know, they trusted their doctor. They communicated with their doctor. But things have changed in healthcare and how they handle things, how much time they even spend with you. Okay. So I had to go for a leg check today. It was just brief. I mean, I was in there 10 minutes. You know, he's looking at my leg, make sure it was healing up okay, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, it was $225 for 10 minutes, you know, for a general practitioner to say, hey, yeah, your leg looks good. Keep doing what you're doing. You know, there's not really too much small talk, you know. It's, you know, he's on to the next one. So, so people have kind of like, you know, where's the direct care? Where's that empathy? Where's that feeling like I'm connecting with my doctor here? Well, scientific medicine has invested in what they call preventative therapies of their own, which include drugs and surgery. That's what they call preventative therapy. So a lot of this technique that they're rolling out all over the world, really, you've probably seen the news reports on it. They perform mastectomies as a prevention for breast cancer even before the person has it, that kind of stuff. So people are like scratching their heads about some of this, you know, putting people on high blood pressure medicines to prevent high blood pressure because you've got a family tree that has high blood pressure in it. You know, people are like, no, this doesn't make sense. Why am I taking a blood pressure medicine when I don't have blood pressure issues? If you take a blood pressure medicine, you will have blood pressure issues. What blood pressure medicines do to a healthy heart, you don't ask. People don't ask. I think you should ask. Now, computer programs, they're algorithms. They use them to determine a level of risk, future diseases of people. Here's an example. A computer can indicate a risk of heart disease. Your physician now is permitted to prescribe you heart drugs, even if you don't have the condition yet. This, and to some people's thinking, is insanity. What do you think, Frank? I think it is insanity. I think it's malpractice, for one thing. It's criminal, Frank says. Well, thank you. Black's Law Dictionary speaking. Yes, it's always been illegal, folks, for a doctor to prescribe a medication to a patient who didn't have an existing condition that warranted the drug. It's always been illegal to do that. Now it's not, apparently. So today, physicians are now saying, well, we're practicing preventative care therapy. So we can do that. They're given extreme leeway on the drug therapies now. So medicine has defined drug treatment as a treatment for disease and not for an illness per se, even if it's not evident. So we can't help but think that, you know, what about these vaccines falling into maybe a future category, you know, of something which, you know, in which vaccines have, well, no peer review, no double blind studies that prove their effectiveness. Oh, wait a minute. We're already there. Right. All right. So let's look at what the U.S. National Library of Medicine Institute of Health said April 2011. They said the treatment of chronic illness commonly includes the long-term use of pharmacotherapy, so long-term use of drug therapy. So that's what's common. That's what they expect. If you have chronic illness, you are going to be on drugs for the rest of your life. That's how they look at it. Now, the National Cancer for Biotechnology also says there is a profound ethical issue with regard to prescribing and using drugs. Mm-hmm. And they mention external influences driving this area, like political influences, community interests, and cultural beliefs. They also discuss how important it is to have relevant and true research as a foundation for these ethical, so-called ethical treatments. What'd you say, Frank? Drugs is how they get illness to what? Become a chronic. Well, yes, Frank. If you think about prescription drug therapy, it's managing symptoms. It's not really curing anything. Okay. So, just like, you know, if you're, I mean, a lot of people don't understand what they're on. Example would be someone who calls and says, you know, I was just put on a blood pressure medicine. And if they tell you what it is, you just type it into a search engine. You can find out what it is. It's typically a diuretic. And they go, why am I on a diuretic for high blood pressure? People don't even know why. And I'm like, well, they're taking a percentage of fluid out of your blood to drop your blood pressure. Let me give you an example. George Washington, he got sick riding his horse in the winter. And the doctors were called in, and they wanted to drop his blood pressure. And yeah, he had a cold, you know. He started out with a cold. And they wanted to drop his blood pressure, so they did bloodletting and leeches to, you know, remove some of the blood from his system to drop his blood pressure. Well, the problem was is they bled him too much, and he died. They kind of removed his life source from him. Now, when you take a diuretic, it's kind of the same principle, but just not as messy, you know. And the thing about diuretics is, they flush your minerals right out of your system. Remember we talked about those beautiful nutritional mineral elements in your whole grains? Well, you know, diuretics take all that away. And people tend to have other internal medicine problems crop up because they're depleted. Because a lot of your internal medicine issues are from a lack of minerals. So minerals are kind of key. Frank says, couldn't taking water out of the blood create, what did you say, a heart attack? A thick blood? You would think so, right? But I don't know if George Washington even got to a heart attack. I think he just slipped away, just like, you know, if he was cut by somebody, stabbed, and he just bled out. You know? But that's basically, people don't understand, why am I on a diuretic? Well, that's how they're thinking about lowering your blood pressure. They're not really looking at why you have high blood pressure and how to address the why. They're just addressing the symptom, you have high blood pressure. And, you know, it's very lucrative. It's a very lucrative approach. You know, they're going to manage your blood pressure now with these drugs, and you have to come in, you have to have blood work from time to time, they got to renew your prescription, and, you know, God forbid you can't get a renewal, then what do you do? Well, if you're not seeing your doctor, let's say you don't have the money to go see your doctor, you're not getting a refill. This is a problem. And I think people are starting to notice they feel like they're kind of hostage to their drug therapy. So there's other ways to deal with things. And God above has designed medicinal herbs for the service of man and healing nations, and he can't lie. So I use a lot of those. And I use a lot of those for the healing of my leg without taking a lot of, you know, drug therapy they want to throw at you. Mm-mm. So thepowerherbs.com, if you want to check them out, get their free catalog, 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663 and get empowered out there. I see by the clock I'm out of time. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice if you dare from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Until next time, wish you all to be well.